Read Matthew 11, verses 20 through 25. This is, of course, going to be the text from for our message today. And if you're wondering, well, haven't we been working through the book of Philippians? Yes, and we'll do that this afternoon, but we're going to leave that for a moment this morning. But before the reading of the Word of God and the exposition of the Word of God, let us take this time just to pray for the blessing of the reading an exposition of His Word. If you would, please let us bow our heads and join our faith together. Living God, help us to hear Your Holy Word that we might truly understand what You have written in Your Word, and that in understanding we might believe, and that in our believing, Father, that we might follow with all faithfulness and obedience, seeking, of course, Your honor and glory in all that we do, and it's in Christ's name we pray, we say, Amen. Matthew 11. This is beginning in verse 25. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. The flower withers and the grass fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. There is, in society, this epidemic of exhaustion. There's an exhaustion epidemic in the modern soul. We are a people who have never been more connected and yet never more isolated, never more informed and yet never more confused, never more entertained and yet never more empty. We scroll through endless feeds looking for something, just anything that will satisfy the gnawing ache inside. We work longer hours, chase bigger dreams, accumulate more possessions, curate better images, and still we are tired. Tired in our bones, tired in our minds, tired in our souls. But here's what we don't often admit. Most of our exhaustion is spiritual exhaustion. It's the weariness that comes from trying to be our own Savior, from trying to prove our worth, from trying to earn what can only be received as a gift. And into that exhaustion, Jesus speaks. Not with a program, not with a system, not with a five-step plan for better time management or work-life balance. He speaks with an invitation so simple, it sounds almost foolish. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, I want us to hear that invitation afresh. I want us to feel the weight of it. I want us to see what it means that the rest Christ gives is not an absence of a burden, but the presence of a better master. This passage really echoes back to Jeremiah 6:16, where God says to His people, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it and find rest for your souls. And the question before us this morning is this: will we take the yoke that Jesus offers, or will we continue to stagger under the yokes that we've made for ourselves? And so let us look to God for grace to understand this magnificent text. And don't let familiarity blind you to some of the beauty that we're going to draw out of it today. But I want you to see, before Jesus ever issues that invitation in verse 28, he makes some startling declarations in verses 25 through 27, and we cannot skip over this, because what Jesus says here is the foundation for everything that follows. What he says in verses 25 through 27 is the foundation for that wonderful verse that I'm sure many of you in verse 28 have memorized. We can't skip over that. So look, beginning in verse 25, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children." Now, this is shocking, because Jesus is thanking God that he has hidden truth from the wise and revealed it to little children, hidden it from the religious experts and revealed it to the simple and to the humble. Why? Well, verse 26, "Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will." And so here's a sobering truth. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I'm sure you've heard that before. He hides from those who think they already see, and he reveals himself to those who know that they are blind. The Pharisees had their systems, their interpretations, their righteousness. They were convinced they understood God, but they missed Jesus entirely. They looked at the Son of God in the flesh and said, "This is not from God." And meanwhile, fishermen and tax collectors and prostitutes, people who knew that they were sinners, they saw Jesus who he was and believed. Why? Because God chose to reveal it to him. And this cuts against everything our culture believes. We live in an age that worships human autonomy, human reason, human capability. We believe that if we just try hard enough and think long enough and search diligently enough, we can figure it out on our own. But Jesus says, no, you can't, not on your own. Now look at verse 27. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." So Jesus claims absolute authority. "All things have been handed over to me," he says. He claims exclusive knowledge of God. No one knows the Father except the Son. And he claims sovereign control over salvation and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. This is not a Jesus who stands at the door kind of wringing his hands and hoping that you'll let him in. This is a Jesus who sovereignly and graciously and powerfully reveals the Father to whomever he wills. And here's the stunning truth. The same Jesus who has this authority, this Jesus now turns and he issues the most tender invitation imaginable. Look at me. Look with me now at verse 28. It's not on the board, so hopefully you have your Bibles open. "Come to me." This is Christ speaking. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Who is Jesus talking to here? He's not talking to people who have no religion. He's talking to people who have, in a sense, too much. He's too much of it. He's talking to people who are laboring, straining, sweating, grinding under the weight of religious performance. These are people who are trying to save themselves. And friends, there's no heavier burden in the universe than the burden of self-righteousness, self-salvation. I mean, just think think about it for a minute. If your acceptance, if you are accepted, if your acceptance before God depends on you, on your performance, then you can never rest. You can never stop. You can never say it is enough, because the standard is perfection, and you know deep down in your bones, you know that that you're not perfect. And so you try harder, you pray longer, you give more, you serve more faithfully, you clean up your language, your habits, your thought life, you read more Christian books, you memorize more scripture, you add more disciplines. And still that voice whispers, not enough, not yet, try harder. And this is what the Pharisees lived under. They had turned the law of God, which was meant to be a gift, a guide, a revelation of God's character, into a crushing burden. And they had added rule upon rule, regulation upon regulation, fence upon fence around the law, until the people of God were gasping for air under the weight of it all. And here's the absolute tragedy. They thought that this is what God wanted. They thought God was pleased with their striving, and they thought that they could just do enough. If they could just be enough, perform enough, then maybe, just maybe, they would be accepted. But Jesus looks at them and says, "You are laboring, and you are heavy laden, and you are exhausted, and it's all for nothing." Because self-salvation, self-righteousness does not work. It doesn't work because the standard's too high. God's holiness is infinite. His righteousness is perfect. His law says, "Be holy, for I am holy," and no amount of human effort can bridge the chasm between our sin and His glory. James 2:10 says, "Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in just one point has become guilty of it all." One sin, one failure, and you've broken the entire law. It doesn't work because our heart is too corrupt. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it?" You can change your behavior, but you cannot change your heart. You can modify your actions, to be sure, but you cannot transform your desires. And God just doesn't want external compliance. He wants internal transformation. He wants a new heart. And you cannot give yourself a new heart. And it doesn't work because the debt is too great. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, not inconvenience, not a slap on the wrist, not a timeout, death. And then eternal judgment. And you cannot pay that debt and live to tell about it. And so we labor, and we are heavy laden, and we're exhausted. We're exhausted from trying to be good enough to satisfy our debt to God, exhausted from trying to be good enough for others, exhausted from trying to be good enough for ourselves, and into that bone deep, soul crushing exhaustion, Jesus speaks. Look at verse 28 again. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Do you hear the tenderness in that? Do you hear the compassion? Do you hear the warmth? Jesus doesn't say, "Try harder." He doesn't say, "Clean yourself up first." He doesn't say, "Get your act together and then we'll talk." He doesn't say, "Prove yourself worthy." He says, "Come. Just come. Come as you are. Come with your failures. Come with your sin and shame. Come with your exhaustion. Come with your empty hands and broken heart. Come with your doubt and your questions and your confusion. Just come. Notice who He invites. All who labor and are heavy laden. Not the strong, not the successful, not the ones that have it all together, not the spiritual elites, not those with testimonies on steroids, not the super saints. The weary, the burdened, the exhausted, the ones who are at the end of themselves. This is that upside down nature of the kingdom of God. Because in our world's economy, you have to earn your way in. You have to prove your worth. You have to bring something to the table. And you have to have the right credentials, the right pedigree, the right performance. But in the kingdom of God, the only qualification for entry is need. Are you weary? Come. Are you burdened? Then come. Are you exhausted from trying to save yourself? Come. Have you failed? Come. Have you sinned? Come. Are you at the end of your rope? Come. The invitation is not for those who deserve rest. It's for those who need rest. And what does Jesus promise? I'll give you rest. Not I'll give you a lighter load. Not I'll give you a better coping mechanism. Not I'll give you more positive mindset. Not I will give you 3 strategies for stress management. I'll give you rest. Rest, the deep, soul-satisfying rest that comes from knowing you are loved, accepted, secure, at peace with God. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done. But then Jesus says something that sounds almost, boys and girls, almost contradictory. Look at verse 29. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So, kind of wait a minute here. I thought he was offering rest, and now he's talking about taking up a yoke. Boys and girls, do you know what a yoke is? I'm sure someone along the way has told you. A yoke was just kind of this wooden bar that would sit across the back or the shoulders of oxen. And be placed across their shoulders and enabled them to kind of pull a plow or a cart. And in the Bible, it's very much a symbol of labor, of a burden, of servitude, of submission. And so which is it? Is it rest or a yoke? Freedom or bondage? Relief or labor? And the answer is both. Because the rest that Jesus offers is not the absence of a burden, it's the presence of a better master. And this is the paradox at the heart of Christian life. And if we don't understand this, we misunderstand everything about what it means to follow Jesus. Look at verse 30. "For my yoke is easy, my burden light." Now, let's be absolutely clear. Jesus is not saying that following Him will be effortless. He's not promising a life free from difficulty or suffering or sacrifice. And in fact, just a few chapters later, He'll say, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and," do you know it? "Take up his cross and follow me." That's Matthew 16. Take up a cross. Take up a cross is not easy, and denying yourself is not light. So what does he mean when he says his yoke is easy and his burden light? Well, he means this. The yoke of Christ is fundamentally different from the yoke of self-righteousness. Let me just explain three differences. three differences between the yoke of self-righteousness versus the yoke that Christ is offering us. Well, first, the yoke of self-righteousness, of self-salvation, is really a yoke of fear. And the yoke of Christ is a yoke of love. When you try to save yourself, you're operating out of fear. You're afraid that if you don't perform, you'll be rejected. You're afraid that if you fail, you'll be abandoned. You're afraid that you're not enough and that you never will be. And you're afraid that God is scrutinizing your every move, just waiting for you to slip up so He can strike you down. But when you take Christ's yoke, you're operating out of love. You obey not out of fear, but out of gratitude. You serve not to earn acceptance, but because you've already been accepted in Christ. You strive not to become a child of God, but because you are a child of God. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." And the yoke of Christ is light because it's carried in love, not driven by fear. That's one of the differences. But another way in which the yoke of self-righteousness is different from the yoke that Christ offers is this, is that the yoke of self-righteousness is really a yoke that isolates. It's a yoke of isolation. But the yoke of Christ is a yoke of partnership. When you try to save yourself, you're on your own. It's all about you. If you succeed, you get the credit. If you fail, you get the blame. And you're alone in your striving, alone in your failure, alone in your exhaustion. But look at 29, verse 29 again. "Take my yoke upon you." In ancient times, a yoke, often what they would do would be shared between two animals, and one would be more experienced, an older ox, and the other one would be a younger one, and they'd be yoked together so that this untrained ox would learn from the older ox. The older ox would bear most of the weight, and the younger ox would learn by walking alongside. And so when Jesus says, "Take my yoke," He says, "I'm getting in this with you. You're not alone. I'm pulling with you. I'm carrying the weight with you. I'm bearing the load with you." Grace does not dismiss the yoke. It puts Christ's shoulders in it with you. I mean, do you see how revolutionary this is? You're not working for Jesus, you're working with Jesus. You're not striving to reach Him, you're walking alongside Him. You're not carrying the burden alone, He's carrying it with you. And in fact, He's carrying most of it. And the yoke of Christ is light because you're yoked to Him and He's carrying the weight. And finally, the difference between the yoke of self-righteousness and Christ's yoke that He offers us is that the yoke of self-righteousness really, ultimately, when you dig deep down, it's a yoke that's rooted in pride. And the yoke of Christ, of course, is the yoke of humility. When you're trying to save yourself, it's all about you, your performance, your righteousness, your achievements, your moral record, your spiritual resume. And if you succeed, you get to boast. But if you fail, you're crushed under the weight of your own inadequacy. But when you take Christ's yoke, when you take the yoke that Christ offers, you're learning humility from the humble King. In verse 29, He says, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." Stop and just consider who's saying this. This is Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the creator of the universe, the one who spoke galaxies into existence, the one before whom every knee will bow and every tongue confess that He is Lord. And how does He describe Himself? Gentle and lowly in heart. He's not a tyrant. He's not a taskmaster who's cracking the whip. He's not a distant deity making impossible demands. He's a gentle shepherd who leaves the sheep beside still waters. He's a lowly king who washes his disciples' feet. He's a humble savior who welcomes sinners and eats with them. And when you take his yoke, you learn from him. You learn what it means to be gentle, to be humble, to be secure, not in your own performance, but in the Father's love. To rest not in what you've accomplished, but in what Christ has accomplished. And this is why his yoke is easy and his burden light. Not because it requires nothing of you, but because it's motivated by love, not fear, because it's shared with Christ, not carried alone, because it's grounded in his righteousness, not ours. And when you understand that your acceptance before God doesn't depend upon your performance, but on Christ's finished work, then just everything changes. The burden lifts, the striving stops, the fear dissipates. And you find rest, deep, soul-satisfying, eternal rest. But here's the question we have to ask. How can Jesus offer this? How can he invite every sinner to rest? How can he promise that his yoke is easy and his burden light? And the answer is simple. The answer is the cross. You see, there was a yoke that Jesus carried that was not easy. There was a burden he bore that was not light. It was the yoke of the law and the yoke of God's righteous demands. It was the yoke of divine justice, the yoke of our sin and guilt and shame and condemnation. Isaiah 53 says this, verses 4 through 6, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So on the cross, Jesus took upon himself the full weight of God's wrath against sin. He bore the punishment we deserved. He satisfied the justice of God. He paid the debt we could never pay. And he drank the cup of God's fury to the dregs. And in that moment, that dark and terrible and glorious moment, he cried out, "It is finished." Not, "It is started." Not, "It is progressing." Not, "It's waiting for your contribution." It's finished. The work of salvation complete. The debt paid. The law fulfilled. The wrath is satisfied and the victory is won. And because Jesus bore the heavy yoke of God's judgment, we can now bear the light yoke of God's grace. And this is the gospel. This is the good news that changes everything. You don't have to save yourself. You can't save yourself, but Christ has saved you fully, completely, and finally. And now he invites you to rest in him. This is what the Lord's Day is about. We speak of rest. This is the rest. Not to work for your salvation, but to work from your salvation. Not to labor to earn his favor, but to labor because you already have his favor. And this is why Paul can say in Philippians 2, verses 12 through 13, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Work, we work, yes, but we work because God is working in us. We strive, yes, but we strive because we're already secure. We obey, yes, but we obey not to become His children, but because we are His children. The yoke is easy and the burden is light because Jesus has already done the heavy lifting. Friends, I mean, what are you carrying? What are you carrying today? Is it the burden of trying to earn God's approval, others' approval, the burden of perfectionism, control, guilt, shame, sin? First, name it. Acknowledge that you are weary and heavy laden. And then second, come to Jesus, not to a program or to a system, but to a person, to Jesus, the rest giver, the only one who can satisfy your soul's deepest longings. And the invitation is simple. Come. Come in prayer. Come in worship. Come in faith. Just come. And then third, take His yoke. This is not passive. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. This means submitting to His Lordship, following His commands, learning from Him, walking in obedience. But this is not the yoke of self-salvation, of self-righteousness. This is the yoke of love. You obey because you already have His favor. This is the yoke of partnership. He's yoked with you. This is the yoke of humility. You are learning from the gentle King. And as you take His yoke, you will find what He promises, rest for your souls. Not the rest of inactivity, but the rest of security. Not the rest of ease, but the rest of peace. Not the rest of having no burdens, but the rest of having a better master. Jeremiah 6:16. We began by saying this echoes. This Matthew 11 echoes Jeremiah 6:16. And Jeremiah 6:16 says, stand by the roads and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. The ancient path is the path of grace. And the good way is the way of Christ. And when you walk in it, you will find rest for your souls. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we were not made to carry the yoke of self-righteousness, of self-salvation. We were made to rest in the finished work of Christ. You were not made to strive and strain and exhaust yourself trying to earn God's love. You were made to receive it as a gift freely given, lavishly poured out, and secured by the blood of Jesus. You're not made to walk alone under the crushing weight of your sin and shame and failure. You're made to walk with Jesus, who has already carried the weight of the cross and conquered it forever. So here is invitation. Here's invitation anew again today. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So will you come? Will you lay down the yokes that you've been carrying? The yoke of performance, the yoke of guilt, the yoke of fear, the yoke of pride, and take His yoke instead. Will you trust that His yoke is easy and His burden is light? Not because it requires nothing of you, but because He's in it with you, carrying the weight, bearing the load, and leading the way. Grace does not dismiss the yoke. It puts Christ's shoulders in it with you. And when you walk with Him, when you learn from Him, when you rest in Him, you will find what your soul's been longing for all along. Rest, deep, soul-satisfying, eternal rest. Not because you've done enough, not because you've become enough, but simply because Christ is enough. He's enough for your guilt. He's enough for your shame. He's enough for your weakness. He's enough for your failure. And He invites you today, right now, in this very moment, to stop striving and start resting, to stop earning and to start receiving, and stop carrying your own yoke and start sharing His. The weary are welcome, the burdened are invited, and the exhausted will find rest. So come to Jesus, take His yoke, learn from Him, and you'll find rest for your souls. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your invitation, for the invitation of Your Son. We thank You that He does not call the strong or the successful or the self-sufficient. He calls the weary, the burdened, the exhausted. And so we come. We come with our sins, our failures, and our fears. We come with our empty hands and our broken hearts. We come asking for rest. And we thank You that in Christ we find it, not the rest of inactivity, but the rest of security. Not the rest of ease, but the rest of peace. Not the rest of having no burdens, but the rest of having a better master. Help us to take His yoke. Help us to learn from Him. Help us to walk with Him. And help us to rest in Him. For His glory and our joy, we ask this in Christ's name. And together we say, Amen.